It is 12 minutes after 11. I apologize for starting late, but I will call the Committee on Public Safety and Security to order. I have three members here, Mr. Ryan, Mr. Burton, and myself. I'm meeting jointly with another committee. Mr. Burton is here filling in Mr. Kaplowitz. But at this point in time, I don't think committee has a quorum, but we will proceed. This morning, we are continuing our discussion on the administration's proposal to merge two committees. Committee on the two departments, rather, the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Emergency Services. We've had several committee meetings over the last month and a half to 2 months. Heard from several of the stakeholders, the various parties that have concerns and are involved one way or another in the two departments and the communities and our role in the area of public safety and emergency services. Today, we have asked the Police Advisory Board to give us its view on this proposed merger, and so we will take that testimony and again continue our discussion. I should say for the record that the county executive sent a letter last week, or the end of the week before, I guess. I was out of town last week, but he did send a letter to me and I think to the chairman of the board indicating his concern that he had made this proposal a couple of months ago. It's been sitting at the board. He is preparing his budget. And he was concerned. He wanted the Board of Legislators to take an action, you know, yes or no or whatever, because he was getting ready to go to print on his budget, naturally. And he wanted to know, at least from a financial point of view, how to deal with that in his budget. So I certainly appreciate the county executive's concerns. And I think as members of this board, we want to try to work with him as best we can, but we do have a lot of issues involved, and so we are just proceeding as best we can and as quickly as we can. We are not going to be on the same schedule as the county executive, so we expect we will see his budget, and it'll be what it's going to be, and we will have to deal with some of the financial implications as he presents them when we see the budget. But let me review for everybody. We have been looking at both the potential savings in a merger, as well as, certainly from my end, from the public safety side, the actual impact on public safety. To what extent would this merger improve? However good we believe our public safety community is operating today, to what extent does this proposed merger make that even better, more efficient, provide even better services to our constituents, as equally as important as the savings. There may be other ways to get to the savings without necessarily merging both departments, but that's something that each of my colleagues on this board are looking at. Having said that, I don't know if you want to make any statements on
that. Well, I invite the members of the board to join us at the table.
Sure. I don't know how many of the police advisory board, if three. So if the members of the board, Richard, Larry, and Doc.
Yep.
I think that's appropriate of all the members of the advisory board. Well, welcome.
Thank you very much. Where do you want to suburb?
Sure, just
anywhere you can find a seat.
Thank you.
We stretched out the table in the last year or so. And we've been joined by Legislator Alfredo Williams. Why don't we, for the record on the tape, have all of our guests identify themselves, starting with Mr. Wisney, our former colleague, I may add.
Yes, I'm Richard Wisney, and proud to be a member of the Police Advisory Board.
I'm Dr. Cavallo. I've been on this board for the last almost 13 years.
I'm Lawrence Graham. I'm chairman of the Westchester County Police Board. You should know that it's called, in your charter, Police Board. It's not advisor.
Okay. Just to make that correct.
Thank you.
That's all
right.
Please note that.
Okay, absolutely.
John Hodges, Chief Inspector with the Westchester County Department of Public Safety.
Welcome, Inspector. Okay, so as I said, members, today we've asked Chairman Otis Graham and his colleagues to join us and to give us their views on this proposed merger. So, Mr. Chairman, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Legislator Rogowski. Let me start by just saying that that we appreciate your giving us the opportunity to share our opinions. I mean, as Dr. Cavallo mentioned, there are several of us on the committee who have been on the board, who've been with the board and worked with Commissioner Longworth as well as previous commissioners for many years. So I'm going to first make a short statement, and then if Dr. Cavallo or Mr. Wishney want to add anything to this, I've encouraged them to do so. Unfortunately, Peter Kamenstein is in China, one of our other members, and Michael Bruno is also unavailable right now. To County Legislator, in this case, Bill Burton, and County Legislator Martin Rogowski, although this, I will give you this statement that you have. It has Michael Kaplowitz's name on it.
That's right. That's okay. Fine.
Okay. Thank you. And your respective committee members. I'm Lawrence Graham, Chairman of the Westchester County Police Board, and I'm here today to tell you that our five-member board, consisting of myself, Michael Bruno, Julio Cavallo, Peter Kamenstein, and Richard Wishney, all endorse the proposed merger of the Westchester County Department of Public Safety and Department of Emergency Services. Our board was originally presented the proposal at our board meeting of August 11, 2010. We have had the chance to review the original June 2010 proposal, as well as the addendum dated September 16, 2010, and we're happy to endorse the proposal as a positive step towards saving costs and streamlining services in the two departments. We also want to mention that we've had the opportunity to work closely with the Department of Public Safety prior to Commissioner George Longworth's appointment, as well as since his becoming commissioner, and we are all impressed with his insight, intellect, diligence, hard work, leadership, and commitment to bringing the services necessary to protect and ensure the safety of all Westchester residents. And we hope that the county legislators will support the proposal. I also want to add to that, that we have, as I said, we've had the opportunity to look at all the documentation that has been presented to us. And as a part of our conversation, we've talked about everything from the fact that we've seen a similar model in the sense that, fire and police have been have worked together under a chief, a head of public safety in the city of White Plains, right here in the city of White Plains, as the public safety department is organized. We also feel that the goal here is streamlining the centralized communications, the incident command, and as well as improving grant administration, because both of these entities in the past and to currently apply for grants separately. Sometimes there are overlapping issues that and that could be served jointly. And we also feel that there could we could eliminate some of the duplication of some of the administrative functions that go on in each of the departments. And I guess I'll ask.
Thank you.
Well, you know, the duplication process, you know, to save money for the county. And I've worked very closely with Nassau County and Suffolk County, and they have it joined, so they're saving a lot of money. Of course, from the information that we got, the first year is going to be, what, $500,000? That doesn't sound much. The second year is $1 million. You know, then I don't know if they projected. Did you read anything? The third and fourth year? The bottom line is to save money to the taxpayers of Westchester County. That's all I'm looking at. You know, the way it's going to be in operation, I don't know if there's going to be people fired, you know, they're going to be employing, I'm not sure. I don't think they're going to find any firemen, that's for sure. But, you know, it's all cost reduction because of the situation we are here financially. So basically, it's all the numbers that I'm concerned about. I know a lot of the legislators that I spoke to, they said, well, it's not really, you're not saving much. It's only $500,000, you know. But, I don't know the other years, the projection. Do you, Dr. Huck, do we know?
It does go, Doc, it does
project out to
1.7 in the third year.
The third year is what? Well, there you go.
As far as they project.
Year one is 745, year two is 1.3, and year three is 1.7. So, that's the projection. I think there may be some other things that have impacted on it since this period, though.
Mr. Wishing,
yeah, I think I want to spend a few minutes talking about how we got to the position that we're in. I guess it's about 17 or 18 years that I'm going back when we weren't very proud of our operations at the Fire Training Center. It was at the end of the O'Rourke administration, and certainly it picked up a lot of speed during the Spano administration, that we were able to change the environment at the Grasslands Valhalla facility. Millions of dollars were spent during the last 17 or 18 years on improving, enhancing, developing what is now a first-rate, first-class operation. Demonstrating that, as evidence of that, is clearly the amount of participation that has occurred over the last few years. Firefighters, volunteers, career would go and train in other counties rather than use the facilities at Grasslands. That's all changed due to the efforts of this board, the two prior county executives. A lot of progress was made. We have a lot to be proud of. And one of the things that was a product of that was the independence that the firefighters and EMS community have established over that period of time, particularly when the Department of Emergency Services was put together. That was the beginning of giving the opportunity to those two disciplines the ability to improve their services, develop the leadership that we see today. And that independence is what is being threatened here and is a great concern. I'm still an active volunteer firefighter in my community. I'm involved with ambulance services for many years. I haven't had one firefighter or one person in EMS say to me, you know what, this is a good thing, let's move forward and consolidate. Everyone is afraid and fearful of what might happen. Will they lose their independence? Will they lose the funding? Will they lose the commissioner? Police services has a commissioner. Fire services, EMS has their commissioner. When preparing capital budgets and other related items, they're independent. They put together what their needs are. They pushed up the ladder. They eventually work their way into the administration and to this board. And we've always supported, particularly in the last two decades, emergency services. So I certainly understand the fear. But now here's my fear. We're in the worst economic decline since I've been around in my lifetime, certainly since the Depression, the Great Depression. Governments are suffering, just like individuals are suffering. And we've just seen the beginning of the government suffering. You're going to see tremendous costs, lack of revenues. Things have to be made up over the next couple of years. This is only the beginning of the trouble governments are going to have. So my fear is that if we don't voluntarily cooperate and try to find a way to save dollars, consolidate, and at the same time make sure that the emergency services people are not afraid of what may or may not happen. And I think one of the points that's been made here, there's a couple of people in this room who understand this very well. The county of Westchester doesn't have firefighters on their payroll. They don't have ambulance people on their payroll. Those are independent operations. And from my understanding, in a consolidation, that'll all remain the same. There will be changes in the back office operations, the administration. That makes sense. And I've heard from individuals, and I apologize for taking too much time here. I'll try to cut back here. I've heard from individuals, having a cop in charge of firefighters and EMS just doesn't work, it's never worked anywhere, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's all just talk. And I think there's enough evidence here that this board should seriously consider cooperating with the administration and finding a way to make this work. because the outcome, if there's not cooperation, could be a lot worse than anyone thinks. If you're going to have 400 or 500 layoffs put on the table in just a few weeks from now in front of you, what the heck are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, we don't want to cooperate, we're going to keep all the employees? Taxpayers have had it. You all know that. You're all up for election next year. Think about it. We want to cooperate here. We want to do what's right. And it, and honestly, I think it'll be better over time. If we can find a way to make this work, I believe that we will be able to save money and have better services. And I also think that the experience will show, no matter who the commissioner is in charge of the department, it'll be handled professionally and properly. And there's always checks and balances. This board developed all those emergency services with the assistance of the administration. There's no reason why, if this goes forward, that in fact, if things don't go well, things can be changed. So with that said, I'm supporting our commissioner. I'm supporting our county executive. I apologize for that noise. And I think you should too. And I'm hoping that our friends out in the emergency service will recognize that by not cooperating, it's going to be worse than by cooperating.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When are you
voting on
this? Yes,
Mr. Chairman.
When are we voting on it?
This agenda, yes.
Well, that's a good question. We will not be voting today, the committee. Hopefully, we will be taking a look at this in the near future, vis-a-vis the budget, which we expect to come down in a couple of weeks, if not sooner.
Marty, you're talking about consolidation.
Because I was proposed.
Yeah, I thought it was the intent. And again,
We are setting a public hearing.
That's correct. There's a public hearing that's scheduled
November
8th.
November 8th.
Right, so
then what?
So it will come back after the public hearing. It will come back in the committee for presumably action. Our meeting after that is
2 weeks after.
It's 2 weeks after that. So sometime end of November, beginning of December. The public hearing will be November 8th.
You guys can speak at that. I'll speak to the full board.
Thank you all for your comments.
Thank you.
Very helpful. Members, anybody have any comments
I'm
or questions?
I'm sorry I was late. I understood the meeting didn't start too much before I was here. Is that right?
About 12, 13 after 11.
You did most of the important stuff.
I'm just, you
missed my statement.
There you go.
I have a copy of my statement.
I would like a copy of that then. But
if you could give that to Ms. Bernard, it would be helpful.
However, just reading this letter that was written by Stephen Mark to Judy, I just wanted to ask the gentleman here, in particular, what they thought of how the emergency volunteer service would be affected, if at all, by consolidation.
It is not.
Have you had an opportunity to see this letter?
I haven't seen it.
What's the date? What is
this letter is dated September 11th of 2010. So maybe through the chair, we can give our guests here just maybe 3 minutes to read this letter. And then maybe make a comment.
Even before seeing it, I don't know if we are, I mean, I don't know what the content of the letter is. I don't know if we are able to, I don't know if there's certain facts in there that are being put forth or.
Well, Mr. Morrows, why don't you give us a synopsis of this?
I'm just actually reading it for the first time myself.
I don't know what letter you're talking about, Gordon.
It was in my package right now. It was written by Stephen Marks. To Stephen Marks to Judy Myers. It was in my package. Let me see. You've got it here.
It's in our package.
Is this Stephen Immerbloom?
There are three letters. There are three letters actually in the package.
Oh, I was looking down the bottom.
Chief Alagno from Mount Pleasant, John Costanza, Chiefs Police Association, and an email from a gentleman named Stephen Mark. Actually, Stephen Immerblum.
Well, I think we're
going
to be able to.
Yeah, it's a long. But it's in the right. We will.
And the first sentence right there says it's not going to work and it's going to cause disruption. Who is this guy, by the way?
I don't know.
Is he a concerned citizen? Is he a guy who sells items to the fire department?
He identifies himself at the end of the email. But that notwithstanding, we all can take a look at the email and comment.
Well, maybe you just give a general response then to how the volunteer service will be affected.
Which me knows more.
Again, just to repeat what the fear is of change, of losing independent support. That's what the fear is. And I don't believe it's reality. I think the reality is that the Department of Emergency Services has an opportunity to be saved if this board doesn't act to consolidate and find and negotiate a settlement of some kind. It's going to be devastation at DES, and the cops will be affected too. Our police. All of our employees.
Certainly, and we certainly appreciate that concern. Let me share with you, as members of the police board, we certainly appreciate you coming. Let me share with you, I think, my concerns, and I think several of my colleagues, I think, share those concerns. It's. I think we're all committed to the savings. I think the point's been made, and clearly, as Mr. Wishy said, from our constituents, the taxpayers out there, we've hit the wall. Notwithstanding that, you know, we have all our mandates, we have to do something. So I think what we're looking, at least what I'm looking at, is, and we have, you know, we have the blueprint. We have a printout of exactly, you know, the 747,000. So these are the administration's numbers. And so the questions that I have boil down to, how do we accomplish these savings? Certainly consolidation, the administration's committed. We agree with them on this consolidation. Here's what they expect, and I think they're even somewhat conservative on the numbers. Can we get to these same numbers more in the context of sharing services? Can we share the grant writing? Can we share the joint training? Can we consolidate the services and share the services and reach the same numbers, but keep the independence, I think, is important. I think there's concerns, there's fears, and they, you know, may be justified, may not be justified. But I think you painted a nice picture of over time how the emergency services developed their independence, their expertise, and got to a certain point. And I start, and I'll put it on the record. I start from a premise, if anyone wants to comment, I appreciate it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, we've gotten over the years, as you said, Mr. Wishney, gotten to a point where the system could always be improved, but it seems to be working at a certain level. We need to find savings. And this board has an obligation, as the administration does, to look into the system, the operations. But the question is, can we find the savings with cost sharing as opposed to consolidation? And that's a judgment. Doc, to your point, when we can take a vote. We all have to make that judgment. Do we just need to consolidate to get there, or can we get to that financial number, which was your big concern? The concern was, can we get to that financial number by cost sharing, but keeping that independence? So that's what we continue. This is what I continue to reflect upon and try to look at. And I appreciate if anybody has any comments on that.
Yeah, and I think maybe Chief Hodges can comment as well. In the emergency services, when activities take place, when there is major incidents, I think Commissioner Longworth even gave some examples in his testimony in prior meetings, the police don't even know when there is a major event beginning at a local community involving fire and emergency people, and vice versa. We have dispatchers in two different locations. We have some services that are mimicked in both departments. And we as taxpayers, all of us, pay for that. We pay for duplication over and over and over again. So command, control, dispatching, communication, all of that can be improved. And the way you improve it is to consolidate the departments. To say well, just put the grants together, just put this together, we'll move a couple of people around, we'll save a few bucks. That's helpful, but more importantly, as we go down the road we're going, there are ways to improve emergency services. And that requires one person in charge, and someone has to be in charge, and it should come down and flow down appropriately to the right parties. If you had all your dispatchers in one room, which is a possibility going down the road here, wouldn't that be great if everybody found out about the incident at the same time, and we don't waste a lot of time, and we don't waste a lot of equipment. And there's so many things that can be improved. And Chief, would you want to make any comments?
Well, I just want to make one quick comment to add on to what Mr. Wishnig was commenting on. You talked about there are administrative functions that end up being duplicated. And obviously, all of this is going to ultimately be a judgment that you and your fellow legislators are going to have to make. But there also has to be an understanding, I think, that people that already who are familiar with the county police, with the Department of Public Safety, whether they interact with them at Playland, whether on our parkway patrols or in dealing with them in our county parks around the county, I think there's a great deal of trust, certainly from the citizens, outside of whatever issues there are between the fire folks and police. But I think if you ultimately look at what is best for the citizens of the county and how they are going to view not just the cost savings that have been projected, but also as we continue to have these conversations around the county, and I've met with lots of village mayors and city mayors and town supervisors around Westchester, and all of them are dealing with the same issue, is where they know their citizens are demanding that there be cost saving and that there be shared services, but there's this constant conflict of, oh, but I don't want to give up the uniqueness that makes Scarsdale, or the uniqueness that makes the Chappaqua Library, and so everybody becomes very territorial. But the bottom line is, ultimately, people are going to say, whether in judging the outcome of all this, they're going to say, have you saved us money? Have you worked to try to reach some type of efficiency? And you're going to have to, unfortunately, make some of those hard, uncomfortable decisions. But I think the bottom line, particularly given what the economy is, that people are still going to, they're going to say, yes, $700,000 is a lot of money. That projecting out 3 years, $1.7 million is a lot of money. And I think it's going to be very difficult for folks who are making this decision, you guys who are making this decision, to ultimately later say that it wasn't enough. Particularly when I think it's been demonstrated that we are still, that even with a merger, that there is no sacrifice in services or in the security of Westchester residents. So I'd say...
Before Chief Inspector Hodges goes...
Yes, Mr. Graham, thank you very much.
I now
have the opportunity to call the Committee on Governmental Reform, Efficiency, and Savings into session. Since it was allegedly GRES which was calling this meeting, I'd like to move on. Mr. Hodges.
I think just to address some of the concerns that Mr. Rogowski brought up about the services, and providing services, and can we share services, I'm going to just give some examples and you know, share some of my experience. I have the utmost respect for the Department of Emergency Services, for you know, the fire and EMS community. You know, I've worked very closely with them over the years, and there have been tremendous developments in the Department of Emergency Services, which was a great idea, and you know, has really become very professional. I think what happens is, like anything else, the creating two different departments and the intent of the CBRNE aspect of WMD, and since 9/11, the mission creep has now taken us to a point that there are two departments that now have intertwined abilities, capabilities, roles. And it's kind of pulling us in different directions. The command and control aspect, and I've heard some of the criticism is understandable in unified command with other agencies. Yes, we can do that. We can plug them in. I think the problem is at the county level, it's grown so complicated that there are now two departments that run up to two separate chains of commands. And as the some of the issues of the whole CBRE, the chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, explosive aspects of the public safety side, which, you know, the bomb squad, which is their hazmat techs as well as bomb techs, and the name of the unit is actually hazardous devices. And then we have clearly a hazmat team in the Department of Emergency Services. Clearly, the volunteer service that we have is essential. I don't think anybody wants to do away with the volunteer service. I think we need them. I think the problem is we clearly know when it's a hazmat spill or there's a tanker truck. You know, that's very clear. Where we get into these gray areas where we're having issues is where we get into the suspicious envelope. We get into the white powder. I served prior to being chief of operations as the CEO of Special Operations. And I was at several jobs where I questioned, you know how the genesis. I think the board asked a couple of times, well, how does it happen when a call comes in and it goes here? Well, the problem now is the call comes in, and depending how it's described, it can be a chemical, it could be a powder, it's a suspicious envelope, there's something funny with the postmark, somebody could have put it in a plastic bag. There could be some apparent signs and symptoms. There could be no signs and symptoms, but people are concerned and they want some answers. I've seen cases where it came in as a hazmat job, hazmat went out, and then 45 minutes later, the bomb squad's going because now the hazmat team's concerned about the envelope and that it may be some type of a device to x-ray it. I've seen cases where we've gone out to examine an envelope that was already prepackaged, and maybe it would have been a better idea to leave it in the packaging, x-ray it, take it to the lab. So there's been a couple of issues relative to that, and I think that you know, some of the questions I asked even watching the bomb squad, I think we could do a better job having dedicated fire EMS. When I see this as an opportunity for us to take a step into the next level. There should be a combined response. There should be clearly hazmat, bomb techs. The whole idea of a situation like that requires a lot of people, because if a team does go in, you know, we use robotics now. Robotics go in, there's a team that waits to go in, and a team that should be on the outside, well, that team goes in. And in the meantime, decontamination has to be set up. I asked a couple of questions, and sometimes even at the local level, there was some issues, you know, and we made it our policy with the county is we want a dedicated fire and EMS at every one of those bomb calls. And I'm not saying two blocks away. We want them there. And even in terms of where we've gone with the grants, it's very hard to separate now the expertise that both departments have. It'll be good to bring it together. Clearly, the Department of Emergency Services has very, very highly trained experts in hazmat. But now public safety has gone on and worked very closely with the Secure the Cities program and has a tremendous radiological and nuclear capability. I mean, it would just be such a great idea to bring this together, because the whole concept was WMD, it was weapons of mass destruction, and it was CBRNE. And, you know, I just see this as an opportunity to bridge the two. I don't think anybody wants to do it with volunteers. I think that we just would have an ability at the county level to make the command and control provide the same service and really bring some of the best of both worlds together. And the grants, yes, it would be great to kind of work separately on the grants, but I have to tell you quite honestly that there are so many requirements with the grants. X amount of money has to be sent for police, you know, 26% under part of the UASI. But again, trying to bring these programs together, there is Secure in the Cities money that's coming through public safety. There is LETPP and SLETPP money that's coming through public safety. And then there's UASI and DHS money that comes through DES. And I think that collectively through the advisory boards, and I think through having, you know, a better understanding of the money that's coming in and how we could best spend it, it would just be an opportunity for us to capitalize on that. And that's just to give you, I know, to answer some of the questions, I know Mr. Grassley, what you've been thinking and some of the things that you brought up at previous meetings.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ryan.
Mr. Ryan, let me just say that was very good. I think you've given us an explanation. With all the respect I have for your commissioners, that was very good, Chief Inspector. I appreciate that. And I think you answered as part of your statement. You gave the example of what happens today. The distinctive is the answer is if you combine, there would be that combined team going in together. Did I understand this, that? As opposed to 45 minutes later, the other.
I think this is the vision, and this is what we'd like to see, is to put our best foot forward and provide all the assets that are needed. Instead of trying to pull them out.
So one time, if you were merged, at one time all the assets go out, you're all working sort of together instead of
together.
One
when there are two different departments, clearly everybody in government service, everybody in the police service, we kind of know. Two different departments are two different departments. There's two different chains of command. And that's just how it is. And it's very hard to change that in the fire EMS world.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Ryan.
I was going to tell him it was very good. So I have nothing more to say. The illustrations are helpful, and I think maybe from the beginning of the process, the illustrations around the table, we probably needed more of them, because I think it would have been helpful to people who don't have a background in this. I also thought that our former colleague Richard Wishney made a very important point when he talked about the this fear and concern of the unknown. People that are really dedicated to being part of efforts that help protect the public, being afraid that something is now going to eliminate the area that they work in, or somehow subordinate it in the big picture, if they're not really sure as to what's being proposed. It's natural to understand that the average person out there who's involved in emergency services on a volunteer basis that we're hearing a lot from will be concerned and will be afraid of perhaps things changing in a way that is not helpful to the public. But so those are realities. Those are givens. So we have to deal with those today at 10 to 12, and they'll be with us this afternoon and tomorrow morning as well. But I think that one of the things that we have to acknowledge is that there are the obvious services that are out there on the police side, the obvious services to us and the general public that are out there on the emergency service side, and then the areas of overlap. Obviously, if something is going on at the airport, at a county facility, on a county highway, kidnapping, whatever it might be, something that is a very obvious police response. You want the police to go. You don't want to call out the volunteer firefighters and their snorkel out of Verplank. It's totally inappropriate. If there's a fire, the obvious response is you need to get the fire department there. A SWAT team, someone could question, why bring them into the picture? But I've just kind of mentioned four very obvious and available services, and we have a lot of them. We have a lot of them on the police side, and we have them a lot of them on the emergency service side. And then, as John pointed out, there are some that kind of overlap, like a response to a lion attacking someone over here at the county center at maybe a circus. You got to get EMS people there. You're probably going to get police there. They're going to assess what's going on. But it may be in the end that EMS delivers someone who was attacked by an animal to the local hospital. But a police officer showing up to a call for assistance as 47 people stagger out of the county center and no one's really sure as to why they're collapsing on the steps of the building. You know, what has happened inside that has caused these people to flee the building and they're collapsing right in front of us? So that may, in fact, require now the response to be someone who can deal with maybe biological or chemical agents or radiological agents. It may in fact be that we have two groups, both on EMS or on ES and on public safety, that pieces of those would both be appropriate to that response. There's also the whole question, who did this? This stuff didn't drop out of the sky. Who did this? Who planted this device? Who's responsible for this thing? Go back to the fire, where you thought that it was obvious that the response that you needed was a fire department. Well, maybe there's another side to it. In investigating why this fire started, you have the law enforcement, the police side to it. So there's a lot of things that we do with our inventory of services, and so many of them then touch on and involve other parts of these two departments. So I think it's clear to all of us at this point in the discussion that we have many, many services in this inventory. There perhaps is a very big line that divides most of them into like the police side and the ES side. But it's really hard to find any of them that don't have it at least a law enforcement part to them, because there is that look-see. How did this happen? What was the cause of all these things, and or what occurred? And so you have this natural connection. This was brought up a few weeks ago as the commissioner for police said that sometimes there are emergency services responses that we hear about later in the day, and we actually have a piece of it. We have to go in and kind of look at stuff that has occurred. Examples that he gave to us were sufficient that day, but he was making a point that there should be a coordination. And I think one of the things that has to come out of all of this, if we go the combined route or keeping them separate, there has to be at some point a coming together of a some kind of unification, a connection of the two inventories of services, because each day that any of them are called into play, there probably is a need for both departments to be aware of what's unfolding, because they may in fact both have some role to some degree. Exploring this and taking a look at the comments that come in from the outside, just to address Mr. Burroughs' question about this email. It seems to me, as I go through this, a lot of what we call upon these departments to do, and if I could focus on emergency services for a moment, they were the inheritor back in 1999, and now they continue to be the coordinator of emergency services mutual aid. They don't do the police side. They do the emergency services side, the coordination of mutual aid. No community has sufficient resources to cover everything. All they're responsible to do is to provide an adequate first response. To the extent that a health or a fire event or a fire or some other emergency would go beyond the local resources, they know that in this system they notify the county, and the Department of Emergency Services, as the coordinator of mutual aid, will identify what's available and route these services to the emergency. That's the big function that we're all aware of. And it's different than on the police side, because a lot of the services that are called into play under the system of reciprocal immediate and reciprocal assistance, these are provided by volunteers. This particular email kind of suggests that there's a coordinator that's due to be eliminated, that is a position that coordinates emergency volunteer services, and they specifically mention medical volunteers and also volunteers that handle pets in disasters. Two very important groups of volunteers that need to be coordinated in emergencies. I don't know that this committee has been presented with evidence that says that these functions cannot be handled adequately in a combined department. I don't know that has been shown or not shown, and I don't know if the other side of the coin has either been shown or not shown. The point is that these are two services that we now recognize today. We now recognize that they are important. They are covered Apparently, there is a coordinator that handles both of these, maybe one individual for that matter. But the thing is, we recognize that the functions, the services are important. I've got to feel that if nothing happens, we will continue to recognize that, and there'll be a coordinator of volunteer services. If there is a combination which results in the elimination of this particular position, I would think that we, as a board, would want to make sure that the new structure would certainly have the function covered. So there's nothing in any of this that suggests that function is going to be dropped along the wayside, as this memo seems to suggest. Beyond that, it doesn't really talk to the major functions of the department, and it doesn't talk to something that I think is not accurate, and that is, out in the community, we do hear that this will be a disruption of the system of emergency response in this county. No place have I seen, and I'm not advocating for a combination here, but no place have I seen where the combination of these two departments means that the role of the county as the coordinator of mutual aid, in particular the coordination of a fire response, emergency medical response, or response in the area of chemical, biological, radiological, weapons of mass destruction. I don't see anywhere where we give up that role as coordinator. And I think that's something that concerns me when I hear that out in the community. Beyond that, you know, once again, just to go back to our point today, we have been looking for as much input in on this as possible. For me coming to this meeting today, it wasn't so much about my having questions about this. We've spent a lot of time in meetings prior to today, but I think it was very important and continues to be important for us to hear from the police board, as we have heard from other boards, on what is being proposed, so we can take these good points in consideration as well.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. We are tight for time, I'm afraid, and so I'd like to give Ms. Williams, if you have anything that you'd like to add.
Not at this time.
Ms. Myers.
Just on to what Bill had brought up, but it does seem that we did get a response back that if you read, it does seem, and I can't find the positions here. Oh, there they are. Emergency.
It's on there.
Volunteer services.
Right.
Is that
emergency
the same
volunteer
state?
Services.
Okay, so
right.
That's
what I think they're taking issue with.
That's good for elimination.
This is elimination?
Yes.
Right.
But then we have a letter from the administration that says the duties of the staff assistant emergency volunteer services will be returned to OEM. So.
Office of Emergency Management, which was exactly my point. I haven't seen any evidence where anyone is suggesting that functions will be dropped. They would be incorporated into the structure of what remains after the change takes place.
There
which
are
makes
Chief
sense.
Inspector Hodges services being lost in this discussion.
Right.
And that's the important part. Everybody's saying what they think their opinion is, but the administration, the commissioner, have all made it very clear that in making this change, there will be no loss of services and no loss of independence, and I think that's important.
Ms. Myers,
We are
out of time, so I want to give Gordon a second chance. And then I'm going to ask Mr. Graham to wrap it up on behalf of the police board.
2 minutes, because I agree with Rich, and I also agree with Chief Hodges. I see this as an opportunity, and I really do think that this comes down to territorial. That a lot of people are concerned about their own little control, their own little area of expertise, and thinking that somehow they're shedding that responsibility to the police. And I know New Rochelle Fire, Yonkers Fire, have been heavily lobbying against this, even within my own caucus. And I do see this as an opportunity. The reason I presented this letter, and maybe I'm going to hand this to you, Chief, so that just I think it's been answered, but let's make sure that that's being addressed. I know a lot of people on the board are taking the same philosophy, and I'm not saying that you've adopted this, Marty, that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but I do think it's broke. And I think we've got to go and show consolidation of services, not only to save money, because I think that's essentially what the taxpayers want, but more importantly, I think if we do keep this structure the way it's being visioned right now, it's an opportunity that we're going to be able to help people better. And we'll be in control of something, and I think we really have to get away from the perception and people wanting to keep their own power bases, and we've got to look beyond that. I think from my coalition, from just speaking with my colleagues, both on the Democratic side and the Republican side, it seems to me that they believe, or a majority believe, that we can achieve a lot of the savings independently without consolidating everything. I don't think that's accurate. I think there's more savings, and I think the public safety issue gets addressed better by consolidation. But from my looking at the way this board is looking at it right now, and is very, very close, I think there are a lot of people saying, let's not change it. It's not broken. We can make the savings that the administration is trying to do anyway by not consolidating. I'm making my statement ahead of time. I don't think I really need to hear a public hearing. I'm glad we're going to have it. That's what it's all about. Maybe people still can convince you. But I really think that's the issue right now. People trying to preserve their own basis, not wanting to cede control, perception. Again, what Bill said, they feel as if they're being insubordinated. And I do think it's broken. So I agree with you, Richard.
Mr. Graham, if you could give us a wrap-up, or if you want to bounce past that to somebody else, please.
Well, I think that just in my initial statement and the comments that we've made, that our focus has really been on saving and cost savings in sort of streamlining activities, eliminating duplication of services. And most importantly is that we've pointed out that there is no loss of services, despite questions that people have raised, and I'm glad that Legislator Myers, you know, pointed that out again. But as Legislator Ryan pointed out, that there is no demonstration of any loss of services, and people have been very conscientious in presenting just not just what happened in year one, but projecting out 3 years. And I think this is something that, as Legislator Burroughs pointed out, something that the citizens are looking for in all these communities, whether it's the town of Ossining turning to the county police and saying, we need your assistance in cost savings. It's something that all municipalities are addressing, and ultimately the county needs to as well. So we hope you do support the merger proposal.
Thank you very much, Mr. Graham, and thank you, members of the police board. I'm going to say this 3 or 4 times, and so I can remember not to put advisory in there. Police board, for coming. Members have no other issues. I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Second by Ms. Myers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Both committees.
On behalf of both committees.
But any members of the public have any questions you might have, you can submit them to our staff, and then we'll try to...
Guess what? Now you're
going to
have
three. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank